Right, we'll just read two verses tonight, if you have a Bible with you. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll just read two verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we do know that God will bless the reading of his word tonight. So, just want to consider these two verses tonight. We're just going to go through it part, bit by bit, if you like. Maybe not quite word by word, but certainly phrase by phrase, this message. So, we'll read this verse again. It's quite a fundamental verse in the Gospel. Although some of the terms might be a bit more complicated, but we'll explain that as we go along. So, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the first word I want to think about in our little passage tonight is this word grace. Grace, what is grace? Obviously, we hear a bit about grace, but we know the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, don't we? I was Sweet with Sound, and we'll mention that a bit later on. But when I think about grace, the definition it has for me anyway is undeserved favour. Grace is undeserved favour from God. So God's favour towards us that we don't deserve. Undeserved favour. So why do we need this undeserved favour then? That's the first point I want to consider with you tonight. Why is grace undeserved? Well, it takes us back to the Garden of Eden. I went to Abbott Hall today. We had a lot of kids' messages, and I was talking about Cain and Abel. So back to the very beginning, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, they were given the command of God, just one command, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed that command, and obviously it tells us, it's in the scriptures, the New Testament, that because of one man, basically we're all sinners. We're all descended from Adam, we're all born with Adam's sinful human nature. So we're sinners, and we continue to sin, because we've got this nature, if you like. So what I want to suggest to you tonight is to realise this, that we're sinners, that we don't deserve God's grace, is really the first point. It's the starting point, if you like. We need to realise that before we consider the other things in our verse tonight. Concepts like saved, which we'll think about, faith, gift of God, which we'll think about. So the starting point, before we even get to that point, is to realise that we're sinners before God. And we're totally undeserving sinners in God's sight. But lots of people I come across anyway, and perhaps you as well, we don't think it is undeserved. We think actually God owes them something. We think they're deserving and want to work our way into heaven, if you like. By good works or things that we do, look at himself and say, actually, I deserve something from God. That's quite a common view. I'm sure people here have come across that as well. People would have. Well, there's a verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 22, well known verse. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, which tells us obviously that we're all sinners, we've got God's standards, perfect standard, and we all fall below that standard. So, we're undeserving because of that. And there's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 17 as well, verse 8, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So, our human nature, this nature we've got from Adam, also, because we continue to sin as well, desperately wicked. That's a human heart. And we saw that, well, we see that now in the riots and uprisings across the world, don't we? And we've seen it in our own country with riots a year or two ago in London. It didn't take much to spark it off, but the ones it has sparked off, people who were seen as respectable people. So young people had been went to private school, been brought up well, people who were even well educated, just rebelled totally against the laws of the land, looting, stealing things. So really, when we get an opportunity, the true nature comes out, if you like, and we've seen that with the riots and so on. The true heart, maybe there's a veneer of respectability in society, but given the right conditions and the right opportunity, and obviously without any fear of punishment, then people will take advantage of that and sinful nature will come out, if you like. So we spoke about him, Amazing Grace. It's a well-known hymn that was sung on different occasions. And a man called John Newton wrote that hymn. He was a slave captain, and I'm trying to get my centuries right here. 18th century, was that right? I'm not sure. I think we'll say the 18th century. It was a slave captain, so a slave ship. So to terrible conditions on that ship. He treated the slaves in an appalling manner. But it was a big storm one day, and he came before God. He realized he was a sinner, and he called out to God, and from that point he followed God. And in his hymn, he says, "Saved a wretch like me." So he speaks of himself, a wretch like me, the very lowest point, really. Just nothing in God's sight, a wretch like me. And I guess from our point of view, we'll recognize him to be a wretch because of what he did. But really, we're all like that, but by nature. We'll just start off ourselves. There's another man in the Old Testament, quite different to what John Newton was like. A man called Job. And it says of Job, there was nobody like him in all the earth. And God pointed to him and says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Because he was a righteous man, Job. But even Job would say, behold, I am vile. So he recognised that he was filthy before God. That he was that God couldn't even look on him because of his condition. But this was a man that would consider as the very best of men, if you like. A man called Job. Now, we said grace was undeserved favour. So we spoke a bit about the undeserved part, but what about this kind of favour part? And I guess I've kind of alluded to this already, haven't I? The fact that when we think about favour, people think that God owes them something. They think if they were to consider God, or to give some thought to God, or to come even to some kind of gospel meeting to hear about God and the Lord Jesus, they're actually doing God a favour. They're actually saying, to give God my time, I'm really, that's me being good to God. I'm really doing God a favour in doing that. I think if people don't communicate that, that's certainly behind that. That's kind of the view they have of it, if you like. But that's not the case as we've been thinking about. God is shown us his undeserved favour towards us. So the next part of this I want to think about is this phrase, saved by faith. Saved by faith. Now, when we think of being saved, we need to be saved from something. So saved from the consequences of something, and that's saved from the consequences of our sins. Now, there's an example I want to think about here. I've heard the story, and I think people here have probably heard the story as well, that there was a Titanic exhibition, and the people, when they started to go around it, they were given a certain number, went around the exhibition and so on. And they got to the end, and there was the two boards, saved or lost, and you're either on one of these boards, saved or lost. And that's the reality of the gospel message, and the reality of the consequences of our sins. At the end of the day, we're either saved or lost, and there's consequences of it, not just now, but for all eternity. Saved or lost? And we can pose that question to ourselves today. Are we saved or lost? Now, when we think about being saved, we think about drowning, don't we? That's the thing that comes to mind most. Saved from drowning, saved at sea, and so on. When I think about this, the scripture always comes to my mind is Peter walking on the water. So Peter, he looks to the Lord Jesus, he walks on the water, but he's got his eyes on the Lord, he can walk on the water. And then he takes his eyes off the Lord, he begins to sink. And really for me, it's a picture of us really sinking in sin as well. We're sinking down. But obviously Peter, he realises he's sinking, and he calls out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." And that's And that's all we have to do as well. Call out, Lord, save me, and the Lord Jesus will save us. Just as with Peter, he puts his hand out straight away and saves them. And that's through faith. Peter was exercising faith by obviously putting his calling out to the Lord Jesus. And there's the Philippian jailer as well in Acts chapter 16. And he falls down before Paul and Silas and asks, What must I do to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now shall be saved. Let's think a bit more about this, about faith actually. There's another verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's quite a long verse, but we'll read it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, to please God, we've got to exercise faith. So, a starting point in that is we've got to believe who God is. That he's this God of creation, the one that created us, and the one to whom we're accountable to. And believe in the Lord Jesus, the one who came, and he died for our sins, that we could have our sins forgiven. So we've got to have that starting point. And it's only through faith we can please God, because it become our own works, as we thought about already. We're just going to fall short of God's standard. But by faith, and obviously the scriptures tells us as well that God looks at our faith, just like Abraham, he looked at God's faith and accounted that to him for righteousness. And with us, he looks at that faith, just that trust in him, and for that he takes our sins away, and we can have our sins forgiven. And Romans chapter 4, verse 3, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So the next part of the verse I want to think about is not of ourselves. So I was thinking about this phrase really, and if we think about it, we live in a world that's obsessed by self, don't we? It's human nature really. It's what I want to do. It's what I want. My ambitions, it's all about me, and that's the way of the world, isn't it? If you think about any kind of work context, we'll have what you call appraisals, and you go along and you say, I've been doing all this, and you do that. If you're looking to get a pay rise and so on, you go along and you say, I've met my objectives, and you give a big list of everything that you've done. And I guess it's human nature as well. We put the best possible light on it, don't we? And if we're going for a job interview, we go along and we present our certain experiences and things in the best possible way, best possible light on it. So people think we're worth getting these kind of positions. But with the Gospels, we're thinking about it's not of ourselves. So we're not looking to get to heaven based on what we've done, because it's not possible to do that. There's a verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, wages of sin is death. When we think about it, that's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. Death. Wages of sin is death. So, based on everything that we've done, we're sinners before God, and that's what we deserve. I thought about it kind of this way as well. When think about sort of a job interview sort of analogy, if you like, it's possible that you can kind of talk your way into a job, can't you? You can go along, and even if you don't probably have the proper experience and so on, you can go along, you talk a good game, and you could possibly get that job when perhaps someone else was maybe more qualified or so on. But we can talk our way into heaven we can talk our way into a job, but we'll never talk our way into heaven. On this kind of theme as well, I thought about CVs, and recently when I was looking for jobs and so on, I thought I wasn't going to have a job. But obviously, you fill in your CV and send it off, and you apply for jobs and so on. So I thought really, if we were to make a CV to apply for a place in heaven, what would we put on that CV? What would we put on a CV to apply to get into heaven? Obviously, some people, you come across them all the time, and they will tell you, well, I give to charity. I help the poor. We'll say, I go to church every week. And these things are commendable things. But these things I'll never get into heaven. I thought, if you were to have such an application to get into heaven, I thought, you'd only put it on at this one thing. This one phrase, if you like. And that would be, I'm a sinner, but Christ died for me. I'm a sinner, but Christ died for me. And that's all we have. We come to God, we're a sinner, but Christ died for me. But that's the only claim we have. There's nothing else that we can boast on. There's no other merit. I think the hymn writer says, there's no merit. I have no other plea, but Jesus died for me. That's a hymn we sing. Now recently, I think in the Bible reading, we've been speaking about the Pharisee and the publican, haven't we? And the Pharisee, he comes boasting, doesn't he? He comes to God and says, I'm not as other men. I fast twice in a week. I'm not even as this publican, and so on. But yet the publican, he can't even look up to God. He can't even lift his eyes to heaven. But he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And if any opportunity to get to heaven at all, this is what we need to do. We need to come before, like publican, if you like, and say, obviously in the privacy, away from everyone else, just us and God. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The next part of the verse I want to think about is this little phrase, gift of God. Now, in the verse that we already read in Romans, it's in the verse as well, isn't it? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, when think about a gift, it's free, isn't it? It's free to us, but someone else pays the price, don't they? And think about the gift of eternal life. It's paid by the Lord Jesus. He paid the ultimate price. He paid that price on the cross. He's the only one that could pay the price. There wasn't ever good enough to pay that price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. So Lord Jesus, he's the only one that could come. He did come. He paid that price. Now think about unwanted gifts. There's different kind of unwanted gifts. I was watching back a video that Andrew made up of the Christmas service, and in Johnny's message, he's talking about how socks are the worst gift to get, and it's in part of his message, and it's the kind of gift that people dread, or men dread, if a father's or if they're getting a bit older, they dread to get this gift of socks. Socks are certainly an unwanted gift, certainly if it's not a design that you choose anyway. I thought about gifts in that way, a gift that you definitely don't want. But I thought there's another kind of unwanted gift. A gift that you quite like, but you're never going to use. I could have brought these along tonight, but I forgot to pick them up. I've got such a gift. It's actually socks that people gave me. One of these kind of novelty pairs of socks. And on these socks it says, While shepherds washed their socks by night. Now, I think actually it's a great gift from a couple of friends of mine, gave them a few years ago. I think actually it's a great gift. I like having them. I'm never going to give them away to anyone else. I'm going to hold on to them because I think it's quite a good gift to have. But unless it's the last pair of socks in my sock drawer, assuming that there's no other socks left, not even the holy ones that are there as well, I've no intention of using this pair of socks. And I think for some people that's what it's like with the gift of God. They say, well, that's all very good. I like that. I'll keep that for another day maybe. They'll say, well, okay, but I like to have that opportunity, and maybe someday I'll think about it. But we'll just put it off, or we just say, well. I've got it, but I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to take it fully. So that's the danger, isn't it? Where we think it's a great offer that God's given us, but we just don't come to that point of accepting it, of putting our faith in the Lord Jesus. The next part of the verse I want to think about is, this is a verse in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Eternal life. Where we have in our verse is, "For by grace are you saved through faith, but not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." So I want to think about eternal life. So I'm getting mixed up here. The eternal life's in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Eternal life. Let's think about that. So we all have favourite gifts, don't we? But the greatest gift offered is the gift of eternal life. And when you think about a favourite gift, it's either a favourite gift because of who gave it, or it's a favourite gift because of the value of it. Now, with eternal life, it's basically both. It's the best gift because the Lord Jesus gave it for us, and it's of the greatest value because it's only way you can get our sins forgiven. So that's just a little quick point on eternal life. So the next thing I want to think about is not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we're thinking just in the Bible reading there, haven't we? About the rich young ruler. And he comes along and says, What good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, I thought an example for this from the Cameron Hospital, actually. I think it was last year. David was speaking that day, and there was a man there. We never met this man again. A man called Jim Roger. He was quite affected by the message, and at the end, we had a chat with him. And he was recounting that he was quite kind of upset by the message, and it seemed to remind him of a story he'd heard many years ago by some preacher, and the story was along the lines of a ship that was sinking, and a man that had been a total rogue and terrible and the worst in society. He went overboard, but it'd been pointed out that if this man had just put his faith in the Lord Jesus, all he had to do was put his faith in the Lord Jesus, and he could be saved. And this man, Jim Roger, I think he said to David himself, he said, "Well, what was the point of living a good life all these years if all I had to do was say, Lord, save me, or put my faith in the Lord Jesus?" I found that quite solemn, really. And we never came across that man again. We don't know what happened to him. But we'd like to believe and obviously pray that he did recognise that that's all he did have to do, and he did actually put his faith in the Lord Jesus. And the rich young ruler, he obviously comes along and he asks, "What a good thing!" And he was asked that question. Well, what about the commandments? And he could list all the commandments, boasting if you like, but yeah, he was still short of something. Still short of something. And that's us. We're always just short of something. There's no boasting. And we've thought about that already. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says, "Where is boasting then? We can't come to God based on boasting." I'm coming towards the end of the message now. Just want to think about. In conclusion, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So we thought of this young ruler. He came along. He could list all the things that he'd done. We could probably argue that he hadn't kept these fully, because it's not possible for everyone to keep the law. It's not possible to do it. But it's only by faith that we're justified with God. I think a question was asked at some point: how can a man be justified with God? And it's only by believing in the Lord Jesus. So that's really the message I have for you tonight. And we'll just finish a bit earlier. A closing prayer, then we'll have a closing hymn.